News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Well, the full details of Budget 2020 are drawing closer, with Minister for Finance Pascal Donoghue apparently confirming yesterday the budget will be a no-deal Brexit budget and will not include any income tax cuts. Joining us now is Minister for Finance Pascal Donoghue. Minister, will there be, whatever about income, any tax cuts in the upcoming budget?
Any tax cuts that happen in the upcoming budget will be targeted and will be quite minimal. I'm doing all of this to make sure that, on the other hand, we free up the kind of money that we might need to protect our country if we end up dealing with a no-deal Brexit.
But on income tax, it certainly looks like there won't be any, despite the Taoiseach promising less than a year ago there would be.
And we've always made very clear when it comes to income tax that our priority first has to make sure that we have an economy that can afford any tax cuts or tax changes that we might make. If we have a deal, if we have a growing economy, those things are possible. But the risk of a no deal means that we need to be safe and careful about what we do for next year. Our priority and sequencing always has been that a growing economy can make lots of different changes for citizens, for workers. In a no-deal setting, we'll need to make other decisions to make sure that we can continue to protect our country.
So those Fine Gael voters who get up early in the morning and thought Leo Varadkar would represent them, what is the message? This tax cut that was going to be spread over 5 years, £2,500 every year, when will that start, if not in the next
that budget? We are still capable of making progress on that, and we will. That was always a plan that was targeted for the next budget. It was for the next Dáil, excuse me. It was a plan that the Taoiseach and I outlined over many years. We can make progress on delivering that objective. But many, many things have changed. And one of the things that has unfortunately changed is the prospect of a no-deal Brexit is far higher than we thought it would be. So for those who vote for us and for those who don't, for all of the citizens that we represent in government, our message is that we need to ensure that we have the plans in place to protect the 2.3 million people that are at work in Ireland. And we have the plans in place that if we do get into a no-deal Brexit, we can help out different parts of our economy and also ensure that we don't do so at the expense of protecting people who could be very vulnerable.
Yeah, when the Taoiseach made the promise last November, the DUP had already rejected the withdrawal agreement. So we knew a no-deal was on the table. He still made the promise.
I think it's fair to say, Ciarán, though, that the visibility and risk of a no-deal Brexit has escalated beyond any proportion since then.
I think people will accept that. I suppose people are just wondering now, was that just electioneering? He thought there was going to be an election around the corner. That's why he made that promise.
And I'd emphasise again that when we get through this period of uncertainty, or if we avoid it because a no-deal Brexit doesn't happen, we will then continue to have an economy that is capable to meeting the kind of needs that are there. If I look all that we have gone through, all the pain that we endured for so long, I hope and believe that I can make the case that at a time of risk like this, surely it's the right thing to do to preserve our resources, to make decisions. That means that we can protect jobs and protect parts of our country that could face a no-deal Brexit. You know, all that being said, Ciarán, we're still in a place where we're going to be spending more next year, €2.8 billion more of investment in our country. We're going to be investing more in building homes, more in building schools and roads and public transport, €900 million more spending in areas that can make a difference to our country if Brexit hits, but are also right for our country in the long run.
Brexit, of course, is the largest storm looming, but it's not the only one. Seamus Coffey of the Fiscal Advisory Council on the show yesterday talked about Fine Gael's fiscal irresponsibility a little bit, about supplementary budgets, particularly in health. And once you add up that and other cost overruns this year, spending is going to be over €1 billion higher than expected. If it wasn't for that irresponsibility, maybe you could afford those tax cuts.
Well, let's see where we're going to be later on in the year. If you look at where we are spending today, the most recent figures that were available to me are the figures that came in at the end of August, and they showed that overall government spending is just below profile. If you look at the wider charge of when I say below profile, what I mean is that it's slightly below what we had predicted at that point in the year. And if you look at the broader charge regarding where we stand with managing the country's finances, in 2016 we had a deficit as a percentage of our national income, so a gap between what we raise in taxes and what we spend, of 0.7% of our national income. This year I will believe we will deliver a surplus of 0.2% of our national income. And we're doing all of that where, if you look at where we are now, over the last 3 years, day-to-day spending has grown by 4%. A decade ago, at the same point, with the same things happening in our economy, it grew by 7%.
Yeah. On the supplementary budgets and cost overrun, though, it sounds like you're saying the Fiscal Advisory Council might have their numbers wrong. But wait, let's wait until the end of the year. Maybe they've got the figures wrong.
I think the key point is what I said earlier on. Let's wait till we see later on in the year. We've made very significant changes in how we have managed additional government spending during the year, because last year, and I've acknowledged this before, between September and November, a number of things went wrong that I'm not going to repeat again.
So if you think their prediction is wrong, how much heed are you going to pay to their pre-budget statement?
Well, I'm making clear here today that I'm going to be deferring other things that I'm looking to do to give myself the best chance possible of being inside the budgetary parameters that I recommended, that they can see value in us being able to deliver. In all of the debates that I have had now over the last year or so in relation to commentaries about how we were doing on public spending, I've made the point that we're far lower in terms of growth versus where we were a decade ago, and doing this in the context of an economy that has 2.3 million people at work. And for every voice, and there's only a few of them, that are arguing for me to spend less, there is a vast array of voices and interests that are saying I'm not spending enough. And the balance that I have to do is do something that I believe is right in the long run. You know, I could be on your show here this morning, Kieran, and we might have a larger surplus. But if we were building fewer homes, building fewer schools, if we had even fewer nurses, you'd be asking me a different set of questions. And I'm doing all this in the context of having moved our economy from being in deficit to now into being a surplus.
Before you go, Minister, I just want to ask you about Michael D. Higgins, the president, who yesterday said that serving men and women should have conditions including an income and prospects that are sufficient to provide for themselves and their families. This was at the annual Defence Forces Value Awards. Is that really the job of the president, to call for a pay rise for the army?
Look, President Higgins has done a fantastic job representing our country here at home and abroad. For all who are concerned regarding, you know, the pay of our defence forces.
He does step across the line a little bit, though, doesn't he?
I believe he has conducted himself here and reflected the highest values of the institution of the presidency.
All right, we'll leave it there. Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue. Minister, thanks a million.
He dodged that one very nicely now, didn't he? 33 years since the thundering disgrace, since Carol O'Dolig resigned because of comments made by a then Fine Gael minister. And it's amazing, no government since will touch a president, regardless of what they said. Michael D. Higgins has yet again breached his constitutional role. And I know people text and say, speaking for me, I don't care about that stuff. Have a look at England and see what happens when people ride roughshod over the Constitution. 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. Is Michael D right to say what he said about the army pay, or is he going too far?